Let us pray. Father, I pray that you would speak to us today, God, both collectively and corporately as your people, and also to each one of us as your son or daughter. Speak to us, O God, as you are our heavenly and loving Father, who knows us each by name, and who knows the plans and purposes you have for each of us and the gifts and calling that you have given to each of us. Come and speak to us, O Lord, and help us to hear, to understand, and to submit to your word. Through Jesus Christ, the living word, in whose name we pray. Amen. And please be seated. So today, I want to preach on the topic of the stewardship of our talents and service to God. And I want to speak first from the gospel today, and that was the gospel of John, chapter 21. And this is after Jesus' resurrection, and after he's already appeared to his disciples once, and then he appears again after they have been out fishing, and they come into the shore having caught no fish, and they see a man on the shore who's got some fish and a fire, and he calls out to them, and he says, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" And they say, "No." And he says, "Well, cast your net to the right side of the boat." And they do, and they catch a whole net full of fish, and then they realize that it's Jesus, the Lord. And they say, "It's the Lord." And Simon Peter jumps out of the boat, runs through the water to see Jesus. And then they bring some of the fish. They have a meal with Jesus. And then Jesus takes Peter off to the side for a little walk. And you can kind of imagine that on the shore of Galilee. And Jesus taking Peter aside and walking with him one-on-one and speaking to him. And there's, in this reading and all the readings for today, there's so much to talk about. There's so much depth and breadth. But I want to narrow it down to this topic of stewardship and our service to God. Jesus speaks intimately with Peter. And he's basically asking him, "Peter, do you love me?" And then he's giving him a command, "Feed or tend my sheep and follow me." Any service that we give to God, it has to grow out of our relationship with him. So the first thing Jesus is going to do to us is draw us into his love, draw us into his communion and fellowship and intimacy. And if you imagine how good and loving and perfect Jesus is, and imagine the kingdom of heaven, the presence of God that flows from him, imagine just all that Jesus is flowing over you and into you and drawing you into him. That's what we would describe as intimacy or communion with Jesus. It is an experience of the manifestation of all that Jesus is. And Jesus' first priority in your life is to draw you into that through your own repentance and your own faith and your own being born again into his family, being filled with his spirit baptizing you, you being transformed into his image and likeness, and coming to know him and him knowing you. That, I think, is what is encapsulated in Jesus' question to Peter, "Peter, do you love me? Do you enter into me? Do you want to continue with me?" All of those things. That is where our stewardship comes first, to giving ourselves to God, submitting ourselves to him, entering into his love, which enables us to love him. We love him, John says in his letter, because he first loved us. And Paul says in Romans 5:5 that he has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So to say that, "God, I love you," is to recognize and acknowledge that his love is in us and he has loved us. So our stewardship to God is first to give him our love, which is just returning his love back to him as we enter into this communion of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and that flow and give and take of love. So Jesus is asking Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you love me more than these?" He might be asking him, "Do you love me more than these? Than you love these? Do you love me more than anything in this world?" That's what he's asking. Do you love me? That's our first service to God. In fact, when we gather on Sundays, we are a liturgical church. In fact, I've used the phrase to describe us, a spirit-filled liturgical church that worships in the Anglican tradition. And I could go on to say things about us. But liturgy is a word that means the work of the people. So your first work to God is worship and to give your love to him. That's why I think the liturgy is so valuable, because it facilitates your work and your service to God, giving yourself to him in worship. And then through that relationship, that intimacy, then Jesus instructs Peter what to do. Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. And he asks him three times, really confirming both of these. And as you know, Peter denied him three times. This reestablishes Peter in Christ. It's through our intimacy with Jesus that he will instruct us what to do. He'll put it on our heart. He'll speak to us. He will confirm it. And while Jesus is one-on-one with Peter here, Peter is not alone in his relationship with Jesus. This has come out of Peter's fellowship with the body and followers of Christ. That's where Peter resides, in the context of the church, the body of Christ, the family of faith. It is from Peter's residence in the household of God that he is able to have an intimate and one-on-one relationship with Jesus. And the same is true for us. Our calling, our hearing from God, our ministry to God, and his ministry to us, it will occur between he and us, one-on-one, but it will occur when we are residing in the body of Christ. Sure, there will be times like this when we're one-on-one with Jesus, somewhere by ourselves, in our home, out in nature, anywhere, and God will speak to us. He will interact with us one-on-one. That's a part of our relationship with him. But it will be in the body of Christ, in the household of God, where we grow and where we serve and where we interact with people. And the same is true for Peter. It is out of the context of the body of Christ that Jesus calls him out and speaks to him one-on-one. Here's what I want you to do. And notice what the calling is. Feed my sheep. Feed those in my flock. Minister to the household of faith. Minister to the body of Christ. And then Jesus speaks prophetically about Peter's life. Jesus will speak to us about our lives, both his calling and giftedness and plan for us, and also our life in this world. He will speak to us, and so from that we can serve him in the vocation to which he calls us. And one of the things that is disastrous to people in our culture is comparing ourselves to others. You know, as much as I was blessed by seminary and the doctorate of ministry program at Asbury, one of the temptations there is to compare my calling, my ministry, my service to these other 60 students from all over the world doing a variety of ministries, and to think, oh man, that guy's really doing great things. I should do that. Or, you know, this person is traveling about doing other things. Maybe that's what I should be doing. And that is a temptation that we have, to compare ourselves with others and to do what they're doing, to compare our church with others. Oh, we should be like them. They seem to be drawing people and getting some publicity. And all of that just dissipates who we are in Christ. And it is disrespectful to God, because it minimizes and neglects who he's called us to be, who he's formed and shaped us to be in his image and likeness. And the ministry that he's given to us, the vocation that he's given to us, that is unique to us and will be fruitful for his kingdom, complementing everyone else's calling. So we have to narrow that down, focus. God, what are you calling me to? And we see this right away in the church. Right away in the church. Peter having an intimate one-on-one conversation with Jesus. Who wouldn't want that? And in the midst of it, Peter, what about him, Lord? What about John? I suppose he's going to be the leader. You know, what about him? What's he going to get to do? I mean, right away, we're looking at other people and what they're called to do, comparing ourselves. And so Jesus speaks directly to him. If I want him to do something else, what is that to you? I'm speaking to you right now. Follow me. This is the relationship to which Jesus calls us. And it's the relationship from which our service to him grows and prospers. Both in the church and out in the community and in the world. And we see this in the book of Acts, the reading today, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And again, there's so much depth and breadth here to talk about. But what I want to speak about is this calling, this stewardship of our service to God. And we see here the 12 apostles, of which Peter is one. They're active in the church. They have by now been filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. They've been empowered by God from on high to do the work he's called them to do. And they've been preaching. They've been praying for people. Miracles have been happening. Disciples have been being multiplied. As disciples are multiplied, more areas of need and service are cropping up in the church. One of them is the distribution of food to all the people that have become part of the church and are there and have needs. And it became an issue because it wasn't going so well because it's a new area of service. And so the 12 apostles recognize this, and in verse 2 it says, the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. The important thing to recognize here is not evaluation of this ministry versus that ministry, which is more important. What's important to recognize here is the individual calling for the people in the church. The 12 apostles have been called to the ministry of the word and to prayer. What's important for them is not to neglect their service and their calling in order to do something else that isn't less valuable, but it's not their calling. So their initiative is to pray and to raise up and empower other people who can address this area of service in the body of Christ, in the church. And they select these 7 whom are called deacons, who are people filled with the Spirit and of wisdom, so no lesser category of people. They're filled with the Spirit of God. They're filled with wisdom. We see their fruitfulness later, both Stephen and Philip. And so they will devote themselves to this project of making sure the food gets distributed. And then that's what they do. And the apostles continue to preach and to pray for the people. That, you know, in our church community and areas of service, you know, we have preaching. And we also have the souls ministry, which is the distribution of food, exactly what the 7 deacons were doing. So imagine if someone who has been committed to that distribution of food, let's take Harry Cannon, who since I've known him has been committed to that ministry as much as anyone I know, making sure that people are fed, that there's a place for it, that there's organization and funds for it. He does that. He's committed to it. He makes it work and prosper. Imagine if I, as the leader of the church, said, Harry, you know what? That's not important. Don't do that. I want you, we're going to have another service on Sunday evening, and you're going to preach. Now, Harry, in his love for God, I mean, he would laugh me out of the room. Because that's not what he's called to do. On the other hand, if he asked me, Craig, I want you to organize souls for the next year. Make sure that there's a church doing the feeding every single day. Make sure they have a place to meet. That would be the end of souls. Because that's not my area of giftedness. I would go crazy. It would mess up my ministry. And this is how the church functions healthfully, is that we all recognize our area of giftedness and offer ourselves to God for that service, and we support and encourage one another. And the outcome of that, of all of us who are called to Christ's body, giving ourselves to him in areas of service, is what we see after this event in the book of Acts. Verse 7, the word of God continued to increase, And the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Through each of us offering our services to God, our talents, where he has called us, the word of God continues to increase. Because we are active and we are spreading out, we are expanding, we are being built up, having more impact. The number of disciples multiplies because we're all reaching people in our service for God. And then this idea that a great many of priests became obedient to the faith. New leaders, mature people, or you might think of it in terms of unlikely people come to the faith. The church grows. This is what Paul is getting to in his letter to the 1 Corinthians, chapters 12, 13, and 14. What he talks about is that the Holy Spirit, who's given to each and every believer, also empowers each and every believer in accordance with his calling and purposes. The Holy Spirit manifests himself through believers, through spiritual gifts, through areas of service and calling for the common good. All these gifts, all these callings are empowered by one and the same Spirit as he apportions to each person as he wills. So when you think about your service, your calling in God's kingdom, whether it is a ministry in the church or whether it's a vocation outside the church or whether it's an area of volunteering in the community, this is the area where God's Spirit empowers you and works through you. You know, sometimes we talk about athletes who have a great performance. They're in the zone. You know, I think of one of Michael Jordan's games when he just couldn't miss in the championship series. He was in the zone. For us, being in the zone is being in the Spirit and the Spirit empowering us and working through us for the benefit of others, for the benefit of his church. There's nothing better for an athlete to experience being in the zone. It's like time stops and stands still. And it's like you're weightless and you're full of energy. And there's nothing better for us. It's much better than just sports, being filled with the Holy Spirit and having him work through us and minister through us. Paul describes this as not struggling with all of his energy to do something good for God, but he calls it in Colossians 1:29, struggling with all of God's energy, which he powerfully works within me. And this only happens as we are serving God, being filled with his Spirit, being empowered by him. And there are some things in the church that have to be done, and it might not be what you want to do, but you just offer yourself, somebody's got to do this, so I'm going to do it. In those areas, follow what Paul says later in Colossians. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. What an honor, what a privilege to serve the Lord in any area of capacity, in the body, in the church, outside the church, in the world, however he's led us. And I want to close by emphasizing that the apostles, the 12 closest to Jesus, empowered with the Holy Spirit, they commit themselves to the ministry of the word and to prayer. The ministry of the word, which would be preaching, and to prayer. One of the greatest things, one of the most impactful areas of service we can offer to God and to others is prayer. And in this day and time, there is so much that the only way we can impact it is through prayer. And so, above all and in all, offer your service to God in prayer and pray earnestly and as continually and as often as you can, praying for all things, because this is a service to God that was so important that the apostles were not willing to give food to people if it meant they neglected prayer. Think about that. Peter was told to feed my lambs. But Peter says he's not talking about just physical food. He's talking about the word and through prayer. So in all that you do, make sure you're praying too, because that is what is going to impact the world for God. And as you do your work for God, know that he sees it and he rewards you. There's places throughout the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is an area where Paul talks about rewards in heaven for those who serve God and build their lives upon the foundation of Christ. Wherever you find yourself and you serve God in his name, God knows. He empowers you and he rewards you. So always remember too that God blesses not just in this world, but he blesses and rewards for eternity. And his promises and his blessings are eternal. So when you offer yourself to God, your service, have an eternal perspective, knowing that you're going to be in this world for a short time, but in the kingdom of heaven forever. So live your life with an eternal perspective. And today what I would ask you to do is not to figure it all out, but to offer yourself to God and say, Lord, during this season of my life, where are you calling me to serve? Continuing in your vocation, where the job that you have, invite God, Lord, empower me in this job. Even though it might be a secular job, it's a practical job. Help me to do it for your glory. Help me to do it wholeheartedly unto you, serving the Lord Jesus Christ and not just man. In your prayers, offer them to God. In the area that he calls you, the area that he puts upon your heart, ask him for an outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit to manifest in you and through you. And don't put limits on God. Maybe he calls you to something brand new, something you would never have thought of, something that you don't want to do or can't imagine doing, but God is saying, I want you to do this. He puts it on your heart. He will empower you. He will give you the grace to do it. And he will draw you into that loving intimacy with himself in the body of Christ, which will grow and prosper through your service. So let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, each of us, I know, would love to take a walk with you. Having you all to ourselves for a few minutes, looking in your eyes, hearing your voice. Lord, I know that we may not see you while we're in this world, but help us to have that intimate communication with you, where we hear you, where we sense your presence, where all other noises and distractions just cease to exist for us. No distracting thoughts, no worries or anxieties, just our communion with you. And Jesus, I pray that you would speak to us, drawing us to you and instructing us, which is a scary thing because when we call you Lord and we hear you give us a command or instruction, we have to obey. So we might even not want to hear it. But Lord, I pray that you give us the courageous faith to set ourselves before you and to hear and listen to your instructions for our life. God, give us the grace, the manifestation of your Holy Spirit to obey and to fulfill your calling. God, in all things during these days, help us to pray earnestly and faithfully and continually. And build up your church right here at Church of the Redeemer. Multiply disciples, increase and empower your word, and bring about conversions, salvations of people, O God. And we pray the same for the church throughout this country and in this world. Through Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Amen.